It's always good to see everyone who has come out to the meeting today. And we're going to go ahead and open the Word of God to the first book in the Bible, Genesis, the book that means beginnings. We're going to look at a portion of the Bible that has fascinated many people for many years. Genesis in chapter 6. And we'll look at verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply upon the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit will not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, and his days are 120 years. Go ahead and drop down to verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. May the Lord bless to us the public reading of his word to us today. It must have been quite a message to receive from God that Noah received. I want you to build an ark. You know, a lot of our coloring books today for the children, they show Noah and a boat. And they I've been intrigued by seeing these pictures of Noah and the boat. But you know, Noah didn't build a boat. Noah built an ark. And the difference between a boat and an ark is that an ark actually looks kind of like a very, very large shoebox. Okay, the way that it's designed, there's no point in the front. It's flat in the front, and it's flat on all sides, actually. It just looks a lot like a shoebox. That's an ark. A boat is something that, it has a helm where you can turn and go left and right and so forth, and it has a point at the front so that you'd be able to navigate a little bit better. But an ark is not that way. An ark is not designed to go anywhere. An ark is designed simply to float. And the structure of an ark is interesting as well, because it's very difficult to sink an ark. Sinking a boat is a lot easier, but sinking an ark, it is very, very difficult to sink an ark. If you're inside of an ark, that ark can move all over the water, but it's going to be very, it's kind of like a cork in the water. You just ever try to sink a cork? And you know, you can have the water going all over the place. The cork is going to still stay up there, okay? So that's the idea of an ark. So when God told Noah to build an ark, he didn't say to build a boat. He said to build an ark. He knew that there was a storm that was going to come ahead. As you consider this story, it is something that I want to illustrate in the gospel for a few moments today. And if you're not saved today, I'd really highly recommend that you listen very closely to God's message of salvation, because today is a day you can actually come to know Christ as your personal Savior. Up to this point, there was no rain in the world. No such thing as rain. And you could, I mean, if you were able to go back in time, back to the time back then before the ark, and you talk to people and you tell them about this thing called rain, they'd have no idea what you're talking about. They don't know what rain was, because they had never seen it before. Because the Bible tells us that there was a dew and there was a mist that would water the plants. But there was no such thing as rain until after, or during, the worldwide flood. That was the very, very first rain that ever came down. Nobody would say, rain, what's that? Water come out of heaven? How could you believe that? But you can imagine being Noah trying to preach. There's going to be a flood that's going to come, and all this water is just going to fall out of the sky, and it's going to be and make a huge flood. And that's why I'm building this big, huge boat. And people laughing at you. Judgment is coming. There's safety in the ark. And people would just laugh at you and shake their head. How in the world could you believe that? It's totally not scientific. And up to that point, they were right. It had never rained. You know, a gospel preacher oftentimes feels the exact same way when they preach the gospel. And telling people, you know, there's judgment that's coming. God is a God of mercy. Yes, he's a God of mercy today, but there's judgment that is coming onto this world. And people look around and they say, well, everything has been as it always been before, and everything continues on to the same. How do you know? That's ridiculous to think God's going to come and judgment is going to come in this world. The gospel preacher oftentimes kind of feels like Noah when he preaches the gospel. A lot of people don't want to believe the fact that, yes, judgment is coming, because, you know, God made this place. God can judge this place. God can destroy this place because God made it in the first place. So, yeah, judgment is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And those who are saved are going to be caught up to be with him in the air, and they're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who are not saved are all going to be left behind. Can I tell you, friend of the meeting, judgment is coming. Just consider this room right now. If the Lord Jesus Christ came right now, there's a couple of things that would strike you as interesting if you stayed behind. First, that would strike you as interesting is those who stayed behind with you. As you look around, you'd say, I thought you were saved, and I thought you were saved. And they'd look back at you and say, and I thought you were saved. I think one of the big surprises would be who would stay behind. And you'd be shocked at that. Perhaps you would look around at a place where somebody once was. I didn't know they were saved. I didn't realize they were saved. They must have been saved because the Lord came and they're gone. They're in heaven. But there's going to be a realization that's going to strike you if the Lord came right now and you're still sitting in your seat. And that is, you're going to understand, like you've never understood before, that there's no more opportunity for you to get saved. It's done. It's done. The door of heaven is now shut. It doesn't matter if you come on up here to the front and you kneel on these steps and you cry and you plead and you weep with God, the opportunity is over. What would it be if the Lord Jesus Christ came right now? What would this room look like? All of a sudden, you'd be interested in the gospel, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Whereas before, you would be able to play with your friends and maybe draw a few pictures and laugh and giggle during gospel meeting. But I want to tell you what, if that moment struck right now, there'd be no laughing and giggling in this meeting. All of a sudden, you would be sincere to get saved, but you would know it's too late. When is the Lord Jesus Christ coming? Well, you don't know. But I want to tell you, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and it's a sure thing, and it will happen. And just like Noah would stand and tell people that there's a deluge that is going to come, and judgment is going to come, no doubt he felt foolish. But I want to tell you, the message was real, and this message is real too. Judgment is coming someday, and if you're not saved, you will be left behind, doesn't matter who you are. But the next thing I want you to glean from this story is not only that there's judgment that is coming, but the next thing I want you to glean from this story is that there's an ark. And that is the most beautiful part of this whole story. Because if all I had to preach today was that the judgment is coming, there'd be no sense of preaching. None whatsoever. Because if there was no way out of the judgment, then we could all just close our Bibles and go home. But the most beautiful part of this story is not only that judgment is coming. I want to tell you what the most beautiful part of this story is. Noah is building an ark. I want you to look at this ark as the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the first thing I want you to notice about this ark is that there's one door. One door. There's only one way you get to heaven, and that's through the Lord himself. He said that he was the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's the only way. You can't get to heaven any other way. There's only one door to the ark. Not five, not six, not all kinds of roads go to heaven. One door to the ark. That's it. He's the only way. What are you trusting in to get to heaven? Some people say, well, I'm trusting in my religion, and I'm trusting in my good works, or I'm trusting in this, or I'm trusting in that. I want to tell you something. There's one door to heaven, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's it. But I want you to notice something else about this ark, and that this ark was made out of wood. It's a huge wooden structure. Actually, another ark is being built right now in Kentucky, and it meets the dimensions of the ark right here in Genesis chapter 6 that Noah built. There's somebody who's investing money into actually building it, and it is the largest wooden structure in the planet today, is that ark. It's going to open in June. And to look at it, it's just magnificent. You put a person standing next to it, they look smaller than an ant in comparison to that huge structure. What Noah built was absolutely huge, but I want you to think about this. It was made out of wood. Your mind instantly is going to go to the cross of Calvary, because if that ark represents the Lord Jesus Christ, then your mind is going to think Christ died upon a cross, and it was also made out of wood. And my salvation is going to be if I get to the cross. My favorite hymn is, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. I want to tell you, it was slain for me at that cross. That ark was made out of wood. But there's a couple other things I want you to notice about this ark. Not only was it made out of wood, not only the fact that there is only one door to be able to get into that ark, but I want you to notice that it was to be pitched. It was to be pitched. What is pitch? Don't think of baseball. When it comes to pitch, it comes to the tree sap that comes out of the tree, and they would take the tree sap and they would put it in there, and they would coat the whole ark on the inside and on the outside with tree sap. That's pitch. And the reason why they were doing it is to keep it watertight. So you gotta remember, this thing's gotta last a flood. And it's wood, you see? And wood and water really don't go together very well, do they? Not unless it's covered with pitch. And it's been, and that was God's design. He knew wood and water don't go together, but he knew that pitch would seal the wood. And it's that pitch as it goes all over the outside, and it would fill up all the cracks, and it would seal up all of the wood so the water couldn't destroy the wood on the inside and on the outside, and the pitch was sealing the entire structure. That's a lot of pitch. That's a lot of painting. That's a lot of applying on that ark. But what would that pitch represent to me? Come with me and visit the tree where the pitch came out. And as they would take a drill and they would drill into the side of that tree, and that tree, in essence, would bleed. It would bleed. It took the piercing of a tree and caused it to bleed so that that ark could be sealed. There's a picture here of my salvation. It took my Savior to be pierced at Calvary and for him to bleed for my salvation to be sealed and secure. My salvation is watertight. I can't lose my salvation. I had somebody come up to me not too long ago, and they said, what about losing your salvation? Can you lose your salvation once you're saved? And I asked them, what is your salvation based on? What is it based on? Is it based on your works? No. Well, then if there's anything you do and it can make you lose your salvation, then your salvation was based on your works. But your works cannot get you saved, nor can your good works keep you saved. I have been saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm preserved in that salvation by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because I'm preserved in his blood and not my actions, there's not one thing that could ever be done that will take my salvation away. I have eternal security in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's watertight. It's watertight. Because my salvation was never based upon me and my works in the first place. It was all based upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do I want you to notice that this ark has only one door. Not only do I want you to notice that this ark is made out of wood. Not only do I want you to notice that this ark is pitched within and without so it can be watertight. But I also want you to notice that this ark is a savior. It's a savior. Had Noah and his family and those animals been left on the outside of the ark, they would have died. They would have perished in the judgment that was coming. But this ark was a savior to Noah and his family and those animals that were inside of the ark. This ark is a savior. And I want you to think of the Lord Jesus Christ as a savior. What did he go through so that he could be your savior? Think of that ark just for a moment. As you consider the whole planet, Earth, okay? Compared to you and me, it's pretty big. Compared to the Milky Way galaxy, it's pretty small. Depends what you compare it with. But just consider the whole Earth as a bathtub, okay? And you're going to fill it up with water in 40 days and 40 nights? That's a high volume of water, okay? That's a very high volume of water. We're not talking about a rainstorm that came and it was just a few sprinkles here and there. Nor are we talking about a heavy rainstorm. We say it rained cats and dogs, and you know, and your windshield wipers are going at high speed and all. We're not talking about that either. The world would have never been flooded in 40 days if the rain was falling down at that pace. At the hardest you've ever seen it, you couldn't fill the world in 40 days if it rained that hard for 40 days straight, day and night. You couldn't fill up the whole world. The volume of water that had to have come in order for the world to have been flooded within 40 days was catastrophic, okay? It was catastrophic. It was no small little rainstorm predicted Thursday. Nuh-uh. If you could just imagine a huge dam of water, you look so small next to that big, huge dam, and instantly that dam just cracks open and a volume of water just gushes down through the valley. Are you going to survive it? I don't think so. You will be hit against rocks. You're going to die. A pretty bad death. You'd have no control of how your body is being flung under the water, not to mention you can't breathe because you're underwater. Had Noah been outside of that ark, there would have been no hope for the deluge that was coming. But the fact that they were on the inside created a refuge. It was a savior. Look at the ark, not only as one door, not only as made out of wood, not only as sealed with pitch on the inside and without, but look at the ark as a savior from the judgment that is coming. To be able to fill up the world within 40 days and 40 nights would have taken far more than just one dam of water cracking open instantly. It would have been a whole lot bigger volume of water than that. The Bible tells us that the fountains of the deep broke open. And the amount of water pressure, don't have time to explain it to you right now, but the theory is that a lot of water pressure would have come up from the weight of the land on the top, pressing it through fault lines that are in the earth, shooting it straight up to atmospheric heights, which would have then caused it to all come down. It would have been coming down in massive volume. No hope. None of this, we'll run up to the highest mountain and wait here until the water comes. None of that. You couldn't make it. Couldn't make it. All that rush of water slammed against the ark, didn't it? That would have moved the ark. All that rush of water, the ark would have been its target, wouldn't it? There would be those inside who would have been safe from the storm, but the outside was brutal. If the ark is my savior and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, can I just tell you, friend of the meeting today, all of God's wrath came upon him and like a flood fell upon him at the cross of Calvary for your sin and for my sin. My Savior, my ark, felt the wave of God's wrath as it hit him so that I could be safe on the inside. Now the question comes down to where you are today. As you consider just a couple of very simple points in the gospel message, consider judgment is coming. Those who are saved, they're going to go to heaven, they're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to love their Savior, they're going to be with him. We can't wait to go. But if the Lord Jesus Christ came today, would you stay in your seat or would you go? Would you be with him? Can you take a look at that ark and understand that through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can be sealed from all of the wrath of God against my sin because it fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ that day at Calvary? You say, how can I be saved? If I wanted to be saved right here in this meeting right now, if I wanted to be saved, how could I be saved? I want to tell you how you can be saved. It's not that complicated.